Hey, we are back. Welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
We are those people. And we've been having these conversations since college.
Yes, it's the regular guys, random thoughts, married at first sight, recap. Ugh.
Don't act like you're not liking this. You are actually liking this show.
Y'all are trying to make me like it. It's what's that, Stockholm syndrome?
It's working.
Stockholm syndrome, right? Is that where it starts?
Yep, that's what it's called. But for those of you, if this is the first time watching this, I understand why Terrell is a little apprehensive to reality TV. Because why on earth then is he actually recapping a reality TV show, right? Well, here's the deal. He made a deal way back in the day that he would never watch The Bachelor until they had a Black Bachelor. Quarantine happened. ABC says, let's switch it up. And introduced Matt James, so he was stuck watching it. Therefore, me being a good friend that I am, I watched it with him. And in return, he reluctantly agreed to watch one of my shows, which is Married at First Sight. Now, you know, if you've been following the franchise, after season 12, I wanted to know what Tara would think about somebody like Chris. And lo and behold, they blessed us with Merla. Well, halfway through season 13, I have no idea what possessed him, but he said, you know what, if Gil and Merla make it, we are going to do season 14. Guess what? We're here.
Bullshit. But let me just say this really quick. Mm-hmm. I appreciate the people that shot me a note on Instagram or on Facebook. So here's what had happened was.
What had happened was. Okay. That should have been the name of this episode. What had happened was. So
I don't sleep well. I struggle sleeping. So I normally take Advil PM or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so last week I was like, you know, I'm not going to drink until like 8, and I'm going to take an Advil PM. Then by the time we get done with the show, I'll be ready to go to bed. Well, I hate the show so much that 7:05, I was like, and I just went ahead and poured myself a cocktail and wound up having about 3 or 4. So in the middle, Yanni and I start recording, and I'm normal. And what you guys saw is like... Yeah,
before the show started, first of all, he's like, I'm 4 glasses in. I'm like, uh-oh. He's like, no, I'm not even drunk.
Yeah, totally good. As we start recording, all of a sudden, it just hit me. It's like, I'm totally fine. Appreciate it. It's a vodka night.
There's some women right now who are going, yes, I've seen this before. And they're not talking about the drinking part. They've seen the cheer.
Hey, kudos to your professionalism because... You were just sitting there just like, oh, shit. Well, show must go on.
At some point, it's just like, all right, we got to get to the end of this shit. But look, we're back. We had a conversation. It was great to see everybody else kind of just like, I want what Terrell was drinking. Yeah, just don't take it before that first job call on Monday.
That's yeah.
Well, you know, that kind of goes right into what was happening today, man. I don't know what happened on this episode. It was good, a mixture of good and bad and all in between. Let's start with Noy and Steve on this annoying food fight edition of the Married at First Sight recap. Because one of the things I'm thinking in the very beginning, right? I know the issue for Noy has been about the fact that he doesn't have a job. And I think mm-hmm. she's stuck on that job part, like having to work for a company, that old school mentality, right? But at the same time, Steve is very much only, notice key things that he said, and I really paid attention to this. He kept saying, well, I can take care of me. You're married now, homie. It ain't mm-hmm. about just you.
Mm-hmm. 100%. And I think this is why I like Noe. I realized I have Halo bias because she works in talent acquisition. Yeah. I work in talent acquisition. And so you think from a talent acquisition perspective, you're talking to a recruiter and we like to sum you up based on your professional career path and your trajectory and your plan. Mm. We haven't heard what Steve's plan is. And I don't think Noe has heard what Steve's plan. If he's saying that, hey, you know what? For the next 6 months, I'm just going to chill, relax, regroup. And then mm-hmm. I'm going to go into the job market or something like that. He's not said that. So I totally get her frustration around that. But to your point, yeah, Steve, you got to, it's not about you. It's not about you just mm-hmm. doing your thing. And you can't live a life like it's all going to work out. Look, two kids, 3 kids, we'll make it, we'll be okay.
Yo, let's be fair though. Noi's very annoying with that hard three. Even her friends are like, huh? I mean, not two, not four, but three. And while Steve, I think, is more realistic in that sense, like, you just never know what's going to come. She's like, no, it's got to be three. So what happens if you have one child, and then twins? You're going to have them fight it out in the womb and see who survives?
Eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
It'd be like that scene when Heath Ledger was the Joker.
Yeah.
There's an opening, but there's only one. I'll see you outside.
Yeah. I mean, I just think that's just, you know, I think when you're young, you have this vision of what you want, and that's just where she's at. And if she wants to have three kids, hey, great. You know, who knows? She might have the first one and be like, never doing that again. You know, who knows? You know, but to her point, though, Steve has to have some type of plan. And the fact that his friends are telling her that he has a network, he has options. He could have a job today if he wanted.
Yes.
Now, I think that he has to help Noe feel that she doesn't have to be the breadwinner. And so I don't know.
He never said that.
He didn't say that. But if I'm in Noe's shoes, I have a job and you don't. I have regular steady income and you don't. What does that mean? You know, so it's a conversation.
Does it mean she has more income than him? Or
no, it doesn't.
That's the thing we don't know.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. We don't. I mean, you know, I know what coordinators make. So is she balling out, you know, $150,000 a year as a talent acquisition coordinator? No. Could Steve go be a sales engineer tomorrow and make $150,000 base plus a whole bunch of commission? Yes. Right? So we don't really know that, but the whole, I thought their housewarming party, I thought was nice. The fact that they made some food from their cultures, I thought was cool. But
yes,
what in the noodles was going on with this whole deal?
It's about to be a food fight. But I will say this. I agree with Steve. How are you only cooking yours and not cooking mine? And then you're not even paying attention. You're overcooking, making me these soggy-ass noodles. And then her thing is, well, I'm not going to eat it. So, are you kidding me?
Disagree with you there, brother. Because the fact that she tried to cook for him for the first time, you just shut up. And just say, oh, that's nice. She might not make it the way you like it. Totally fine. Y'all might realize after that dinner, hey, next time I'll make the noodles. But you never insult somebody who's trying to cook something for you.
I agree with you there.
For the first time. There's one thing, they've been married for 5 years, and he's like, you've been screwing up noodles since day one. I'm tired of it, right? But you don't say anything. You just kind of, mind
your
business.
Wait a minute. So if your wife, for the first time cooking for you, has your noodles looking like mashed oatmeal, are you going to be like, this looks delicious?
No, I'm not. But I'm going to say, oh, thanks, babe. I really appreciate it. And then I'll eat it. And she'll, did you like it? I'm like, oh, it was good. And then she might say, well, seriously, did you like it? Can you give me any feedback? I'm like, well, I think maybe, you know, the noodles might have been overcooked, but next time, why don't we cook them together? And we'll put some music on. We'll have some wine. Like, you change the narrative. You just don't go to someone like, what is this shit that you gave me?
Yeah.
I know you were raised in a refugee camp, but this is not a refugee camp. We're in the city.
What's next? Chitlins, goddamn it?
You want me to go outside, find some grasshoppers to eat? This is bullshit.
You know, even still, though, this speaks to her immaturity, the fact that she just left and refused to talk to him and took the social media. He had some great points. Like, look, my family follows you. Now I got to answer questions that I have no answers to because we haven't talked. Here, I hate when these couples do this shit.
Yep.
And they go back home. I don't know why they started letting them go back home. This is ridiculous. There was never an escape before. You cannot walk out and go spend the night at your house. That's not the way it works. Marriage doesn't work that way. And it's never going to work if that's what you want to do. If you want to flee every time, shit just isn't going the way you want. Talk it out. Don't go to bed mad. Agree to disagree. Wake up and have another discussion tomorrow if you want to. But you don't walk out the house and don't say shit. And then don't respond.
Yeah, and leave overnight. So I agree with that. And I think if you're in a traditional marriage, that wouldn't probably have happened. But they just met. They've only known each other, you know, 12 days. But Steve was 100% right in what he said. And I think the only one thing that he said that I didn't like, and I know he didn't mean this intentionally, but just the way it came out and probably how Noe received it, when he said that if you want space, you need a break, just ask. And I'm like,
that's where I know you might have lost it. Okay. Yeah. I felt that the same time. He said, ask. Like, well, you need, but see, he didn't mean it as you need permission. But exactly. What he was saying is like, at least communicate that. Look, hey, I need space. I don't want to talk about this right now. I will respect that.
Yes.
I will honestly respect that and go, okay, let me know when you're ready. In the meantime, I'm going to go over here and think some bad shit.
Yeah, no, she, I think, to me, that showed a little bit of her immaturity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I forget how old she is, but I remember when they first were showing her and she has the wig, when she puts the wigs on, she's a different person, all that type of stuff. And you know, I mean, I'm not a big, you know, people who are big Instagrammers and want to do all this bullshit, that's not my thing. But I think that just shows her immaturity, and it shows Steve's maturity, because I think he's quite a bit older than her. Yes, so yes. I was like, right on, Steve. Bravo. That was a great, great communication that she had. Her whole body language, she was just like this on the cat, just talking to him.
Yes, it was very annoying. You know, speaking of annoying, Katina and Olajuwon, and I think I kind of understand what he's saying in his fear of sleeping with her, right? Is that he feels like he's going to skeet out all the head over heels feelings that he has for her right now if he sleeps with her, and then he'll just see her as somebody else he's been sleeping with this entire time. I think it's a ridiculous excuse, but I see this flawed train of thought that he has.
Come on, man. I've known you since college. We've all been there where, like, I met this girl. She's really cool, man. I don't know. It just feels really nice. And as soon as y'all sleep together, like, how was the date? It was all right. you still like her? She cool. You know, it's totally possible. And maybe it's because his MO has just been to tag him and bag him and move on. And so he's trying not to do that. But on the flip side, you have a woman who wants that affection, wants that closeness from you, and he's just doing all this and not even bringing any of that. And goddamn, put a t-shirt on. Like, we get it. You're fit. You work out. We get it. But Jesus, you know, I'm just, I don't know, man. I mean, even if I was that fit and I was having a house party, I'm not going to be in a tank top. Now, if it's a pool party, total different scenario.
Right. So here's the thing. First of all, I thought it was very funny when they had the housewarming that her friends are like, yeah, man, he started talking, he wouldn't stop. we asked five questions, he went on for 4 hours, you know? And then they showed a little bit more of the conversation that really, the fact that he has never dated a black woman before, to me, is not surprising. What was surprising was the fact that she tried to say, well, you know, that's probably just the Italian in him. Stop that shit. Girl, it's like, you look at him, you can see he's black. Everybody can tell he's black. The Italian, well, he wears a mohawk. Shut the fuck up.
I mean, it'd be one thing if he was like Kobe Bryant and grew up in France. You know, right. I get it. Now, and she was like, no, it's not that he's not been in a relationship with the black woman. He's slept with some black women, and like, that makes it better? You know, I've dated all races, you know, so I get it. Olajuwon is, you know, he's going to date anybody. But I thought that was hilarious, and I loved how her friend was like grilling her, just kind of just sitting there, just, I'm giving you side.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, giving her side eye, but straight.
I love that the friend was right there with it, because I'm like, and I really, you know, is it a red flag for women? I guess sisters can comment below, but is it a red flag to be the first that a black man is dating, especially as old as he is? It's not like he's 18. You know, if he's 18, all right, I get it. You're in high school. You at prep high school. I get it. But, you know, and you and I both dated around the spectrum anyway. So it's not like this. So understanding this and understand preference, like, and all this. And I don't think we've ever had any prejudice in that side of what it is. It seems like he had this exact thing of what he wanted, which was or what he didn't want. And then they gave him that. Is that the reason he hasn't slept with her yet? Because he's like, well, you know, sister's only good for her.
She gonna put it on him. Well, What I didn't like in that, and kudos to the editors, how they, you know, the producers, how they edited this out. Mm-hmm. He made the comment that he wanted to try something new.
Yes.
Like, I'm like, why would you say that?
Yo, but they showed that before because he said that try something new, and the dude was like, because that dude, I thought, wanted to slap the shit out of him the day after the wedding, because he was just like, yo, this is marriage. This is not something you just try. This is marriage.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you? He wanted to shake the shit out of him. Like, who are you? And now I think people are going to go, ah, got it.
I still have my concerns about Olajuwon. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the couples I've been rooting for. Like, I want to see do well. But I got some concerns about both of them.
I will say, kudos to Katina's friends, too. They waited to sit Olajuwon down. Besides the fact that one of them was like, well, does he know he's black? the other one was like, they waited till he was nice and saucy before they sat him down. And that was a bold move because, one, you'll get the truth. But two is, whew, you already know the brother can talk.
Oh, yeah. I think her two friends smell the bullshit. They're just like, mm-hmm. The camera goes like, can we interview you? Like, outside. We can do this interview outside. I got some shit
we
want to say
what we want to say.
I got some shit to say.
Speaking of shit to say, Lindsay Lohan and Mark the Shark, you know, I get where Mark was coming from when he's talking with his homeboy, you know, saying that, you know, Lindsay is too much. And to be quite honest, she really needs counseling, not marriage. She doesn't need a husband. She needs a psychiatrist.
Yeah, but Mark's weak. And let's just own that, too. You know, yes. Mark's a nice guy, and he's right in what he's saying about Lindsay, but he's a weak man. And so that is the problem that they have. And Lindsay can't deal with a weak man. And
she'll eat him up. Yeah.
I've tried to, like, just kind of take a 10,000 foot view of this and not just focus on the little blow ups. Mm-hmm. Lindsay makes good money. Her apartment doesn't look like it, but you got to keep in mind, it's Boston. It's expensive. But she makes good money. And she's done all this stuff to help him in his situation. So that's her way of giving. But Mark's just weak. And that's just a problem. He doesn't know how to, you know, man up. And their housewarming that they had, there's no way in hell I would eat food in that house. There's five cats running around that house. There's no way I'm going to eat food. You'll be eating pizza like, this is so good. Pulling cat hairs out of the cheese. That's just, no.
It'd be you and the cat over there in the corner. Hairball.
No way in the world am I going to trust that kitchen's clean.
Oh, hell no. And you know, we'll get into a little bit more about Lindsay and Mark when we get to the bowling alley. But in the meantime, Jasmine and Michael, I thought that Michael's sister gave great advice, and Jasmina's friend was completely honest. I put it like this. Today's episode is an example for everybody else who signs up for this shit. Make sure you tell your friends, watch this. This is the kind of stuff you need. We need you to say about us, not the shit we saw at the wedding. Because that was, y'all sabotaged so many relationships in the beginning because of the stuff that was said. But, you know, like Michael's sister, I saw people saying she's the best on Twitter saying, oh, she's the best person about the season so far. Don't forget, she said some bad shit at the beginning of the season, too, that kind of put Jasmine against Michael. But her advice now was good. And Katina's friend, whew, I love the way she called her out. But that's you.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's what it is. They're both alike. The competitive nature, all the different things. They have so much in common that it's almost like going on a date with yourself. And you and I have had a separate conversation. I've done that. And I realize I'm like, this is not going to work. Because you are just like me. And we're going to be that asshole couple at parties that everybody hates. So I get that. I do think that I still believe that Jasmina is not attracted to him or not interested in him for whatever reason. And I think she sold a bag of goods to his sister to make it seem like he's great. But there's some, that whole dynamic was weird. I think they had a better episode today. It seems like their communication is getting a little bit better.
Yeah.
But I just think
he's still coming up a little short.
She has it in her head. And the fact that she said, well, I'm never wrong. Like, there's nothing worse than being around somebody that they are right all the time.
Here's the thing about it. I joke about that a lot, right? I'll joke about it and say, I'm never wrong. It was one of my catch things on the radio before, you know, hey, if you think I'm wrong, go check again, because I'm never wrong. I'm always right. That was always my thing. But I know when I'm wrong. And right. and the key thing to being an adult is being able to admit when you're wrong. And then move past it. And let's go. And that's one thing that I think there's... People have been trying to get us like, y'all need to move past her beauty and see this. And I get it. I get it. She reminds me of somebody you used to date before. but here's the thing. We do recognize that, like, the attitude she has with him,
yeah,
that ain't flying with me. That ain't flying with Terrell. I can tell you that off the rip. I don't even have to ask him. He can tell you that. But so the fact is, Michael also has to man up in this sense. Michael and probably Mark need to just kind of, like, you know, get together and figure out, work out how to get their manliness up, because they're getting bullied in these relationships.
Well, yeah, but if he were to man up, that's just going to turn her off more, because true. I think she's used to being the dominant personality in a relationship, and now she's married to her self and her match.
Her shorter self.
Her short.
they did have a good housewarming party, though. They did. It seemed like they were having fun, and they would make great buddies.
Yeah, totally, because there's no way if let's play some Uno. That's how we're going to have some fun. Get the hell out of here. You play Uno when y'all been together for a long time. You know, you don't like your first housewarming, we're going to play Bidwiz, you know, or something like that. Like, that's some old couple shit. Like, charades, I thought it was cool because you get everybody out of their comfort zone. So, you know, who knows what will happen with this group, but it's not looking pretty.
You know what I didn't notice? And somebody on Twitter pointed it out and said, where are Michael's friends?
Guy friends. Yeah, guy friends.
Because, no, it was only his sisters.
No, I know, but we've not seen guy friends.
At all. You're right.
Yeah.
Not even one. And even him and Olajuwon haven't really connected that way.
Yeah, no guy friends, so I don't know what that means. But who knows? Maybe they were busy. Who knows?
Could be.
But I did think that was interesting that there was not another male. But he's used to being around women because he lives with two of them. So for him, this is like being at his house.
I'm at home.
Yeah.
Yo, Alyssa and Chris. First of all, kudos to Chris for doing what we all needed you to do. You did it last week. Congratulations. And his mom was right. He was the one that was robbed. I know Alyssa felt like she was robbed, but Chris was the one that was robbed.
True. And kudos to Chris for taking the high road, because he's not said many negative things about Alyssa that all of us want him to say. But I think I think the real MVP of today's episode were the producers. Every time Alyssa said something, they had a clip. And so when she was sitting with her friend telling a story. And so this is one of those recruiter things. When I'm talking to somebody, if your eyes are moving all over the place, you're lying. You're making it up. And so she would just totally, her eye contact told me you're lying. But I love the fact that the producers kept throwing in clips to counter anything that she had said to her friend. And I think someone on Twitter said they wish they could watch her friend watch this episode in real time and see her reaction. Because I'm like, that's great that you believe in your friend, which she would, right? She wasn't on the show. She didn't see it. So she's just going to believe what her friend said.
She wasn't 100%. She knows her friend. So she wasn't buying it 100%. Because she said, I would have thought this, but from what you're saying. And she just said, from what you're saying. So she knows Alyssa, right? And so here's the thing. They just shot the reunion in L.A. this past weekend, right? According to MAFS fans on IG, said they shot it, and we won't even spoil it with some of the stuff they said. The others also said about it, but I want to see the moment she gets to see all the things she didn't know when they were recording. So she's like, "I'm a good person, you know. I tried, I gave my best," and they show her. She's like, "I don't know how to talk to him. Can you tell? I don't want him to come over here. I want." She's purposely forgetting all that shit.
Yeah, I mean, she's not going to have any remorse or anything like that. She's a narcissist. And so in her mind, she did everything right. And she's going to say that they edited and you know, tweak the footage to make her look bad, like a bad person.
And if you make me look bad, I'm going to be so pissed.
Yeah, so pissed. They're like, you know, bet.
Challenge accepted.
Accepted.
You know, as this all came because, of course, they showed up at the bowling alley, right? Mm-hmm. I thought the highlight of the episode for me was everyone's face when she said, and, you know, I put so much into the relationship. And they went, cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. Everybody, and they were like, the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that was just priceless. And again, Chris could have easily said, no, you didn't. And he didn't. He just took the high road. And so I have a lot of respect for for him, because as a Scorpio, I couldn't do it. I mean, you know me.
He knows what would happen if he did. If he said, no, you didn't, she'd be like, well, you know what? I'm just not going to talk about that like this in front of this. Like she did every other time. That's why I was so mad at Katina and Jasmina when they had that dinner on the beach. And they're like, well, that's not something you guys should discuss here. Maybe you should have that conversation away, because she's going to have that talk with you. No, she wasn't. And he knew that.
Yeah.
He had been through the tennis courts crap. He'd been through everything else with her not showing up, with her leaving him sitting outside after the wedding for the longest time to say, go sleep by yourself. He'd been through all that. He knew there wasn't a conversation coming. And they knew there wasn't one coming.
Yeah. Now, she's petty as hell, and warning all Texas men, if she moves out here, watch yourself. Don't do it.
Run.
But the thing at the bowling alley that bothered me was the little Katina Lindsay things. Like, Katina, let it go. Now, Lindsay is annoying. Lindsay's annoying. And does she say inappropriate stuff? Yes, we all have friends that do inappropriate things. I have close friends that when we get together, it's all inappropriate conversation. Now, I don't do that with people I don't know, but we do that and it gets down a path. But like, Katina just has to freaking grow up and move on.
I want you to keep that same energy and pass that same message on. Repeat that same message to Lindsay. She's got to learn how to read the room, like they all said. She needs to learn how to read the room. And everybody doesn't have to accept your behavior because that's just how I am. I just keep it real. No, stop it.
Well, but here's the problem is Lindsay's been Lindsay for a long time. And people like that in their 30s, that's who they are. They're not going to change. So why get pissed? And Lindsay didn't say anything too bad. She said poop spray. Or she said, hey, put a blindfold on, I'm going to take him to the bedroom. That was the most clutch my pearls. That was so offensive. But Katina just doesn't like
Steve
her.
Off.
But Katina just doesn't like her. Even if Lindsay said, hey, it's a beautiful day out. Katina's going to be like, bitch. Because she just doesn't like her. And that's totally fine. But it's like, grow the hell up. And move. You're going to come across people you don't like. You're going to work with people you don't like. That's fine. I've worked with people that I would never hang out with at all. But we got to work together and we get some stuff done. Like Kobe and Shaq, we can win championships. We don't have to be cool.
Yep. No, I agree with you on that. She definitely, I thought that was an instigation in that sense that, you know, and she knows, no, we're not going, she knows not to talk to me on camera. And that's a bit much.
Yeah.
But there's nobody more much than Lindsay when all the low hand comes out. And it definitely was on full display today. But she threw Mark's business out there in the bathroom screaming. He's sitting outside. I could hear her.
Yeah.
Which means, and she, that, for me, there's no coming back from that.
Mm-mm.
There's absolutely, if you talk about me like that, to prove that you actually have no friggin' respect for me, there's no coming back.
Mm-hmm.
And I've cut people off for a lot less.
Well, I think you should. And so that brings up the income deal, because I didn't like that. Like, be mad at Mark if you want. But this whole go to your mama and all that stuff, that's petty. But I've dated women who make more money than me. And it doesn't bother me a bit.
Exactly.
But I think for guys that it bothers them, it's not that because they want to be the provider. It's they don't want you to throw it in their face when you're mad. And so what she did is she's pissed. And just threw out, he makes $60,000 a year selling gym memberships, whatever. Duh, duh, duh. And then she brings up the, you know, can't even make me have an orgasm. I'm like, why would you say all that to this person, about this person?
Exactly.
On national TV in front of all these people. And so you don't want to be, no guy wants that, right? No guy I think many men could date a woman that makes more money, but you can't throw it in this dude's face like he's a piece of shit. You know, you take what Jeff Bezos' wife is dating a freaking elementary school teacher. Mm-hmm. She makes way more money, but he makes her happy, and it works. And she's not going to throw it in his face.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's the thing. It's the throwing in the face that's a problem for me.
Yeah. Right?
And that's something, me, I don't put up with a lot of stuff. And especially that part of it where, you know, when she, her throwing that stuff out there and she wasn't throwing the finances in his face because, of course, she was behind closed doors with producers, but she's throwing it out for the world to see because
right.
she knew she was mic'd. So, you know, they're recording this, right?
Right.
So that was very petty. But also the fact that she's throwing up, well, I went to go help him do this. I did. That's the reason why I don't like to ask people to do shit for me.
Mm-hmm.
There's a reason I don't, because the last thing I need is you to ever come and you ever come back and say some shit like that. You know what? I'll go find whatever it is. I will compensate you for it and fuck off.
Yeah.
Because we ain't got shit else to talk about.
What?
If you got to throw what you do for me back in my face, we out of here.
Oh, no. But kick it up a notch. Mark didn't ask her to do that.
Fact.
She was like, you know what? I'm going to do this. Babe, I'm a mama bear. I'm going to help. Mm-hmm. Da, da, da. And then you did all these things mm-hmm. and then you threw it in his face.
Yes.
That is just that I just don't see him working. Like to your point, there's no way I could be cool with you after that.
Yep. Facts. It's stuff like that that will make you say to somebody, you make me the worst version of myself. Oh my God. It's going to be an interesting episode next week. And, you know, definitely looking forward to it. I know you are as well. Don't forget, we drop the regular episodes, audio episodes on Monday. Tuesday, we drop the video episodes on YouTube. And of course, on Wednesday, right back here for season 14, Married at First Sight. Bastard.
Yes. Let's get this over with.
Oh my God. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Rude, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yes, send us some of your random thoughts or some of your bullshit. We'll talk about it on a regular show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers. Well, you going straight, no ice, no chaser. Like it.
Mm-hmm. That's what she said.